Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John. During my time here at Sovereign Grace, I have preached from the Gospel of Matthew, of Mark, and of Luke concerning their resurrection stories. And now this morning I will be preaching from the Gospel of John. John chapter 20, and I'll be reading the verses 1 through 18, which is a continuance of the verses we have already read earlier in the service. John chapter 20, the verses 1 through 18, and let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary of Magdala went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said to her, "why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary of Magdala went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she also told them that he had said these things to her. Thus the reading of God's word this morning as it comes to us from John chapter 20. And I want to mention too that the NIV does have Mary of Magdala. Some of your Bibles, probably most of them, have Mary Magdalene. And I'm going to use Mary Magdalene as we read, or as I preach the sermon this morning. As the gospel writers tell us the story of the resurrection, each one of the gospel writers tells the story in a different way. And just because a gospel writer does not tell it the same way as the other, or includes various details that the other writers do not include, it does not mean that one is right and the other is wrong. But each gospel writer has written his gospel with a specific message in mind. He's written the story of the resurrection with a specific message in mind. There is something he wants us, the readers, the Church of Christ, to understand about Christ's resurrection that the other authors do not include. The story of the resurrection of Jesus in the Gospel of John is unique from the other Gospels in many ways. All three of the other Gospels, for example, start out their stories with a bright light shining. In Matthew, as the dawn is breaking, the women come to the tomb, and they arrive at the tomb, and they see a man who is in clothes as bright as lightning. In Mark's gospel, as the women come to the tomb, the sun has already arisen and is shining brightly. In Luke's gospel, as the women come to a tomb, again they come and encounter angels in stunning white clothes, as white as lightning. But as John's gospel begins in John chapter 20, we see that it's still dark. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark. In fact, as John begins his story of the resurrection of Christ, there is not light in his story until verse 18, when Mary returns to the disciples and declares, "I have seen the Lord." A second thing about John's gospel resurrection story that is unique is the amount of women that are included as they come to the tomb. In all three of the other gospels, we are told that there are a group of women, most specifically Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jesus. As we look at John's resurrection story, there are also more than one woman there. If you look at verse 2 and what Mary tells the disciples, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." More than one woman is at the tomb in John's story, but only one woman is mentioned by name, Mary Magdalene, who goes to the tomb. It is as if John is telling his resurrection story in a different way. It is from the eyes and the ears of Mary Magdalene as she arrives at the tomb. He tells us about Peter and about John, but the darkness does not break until Mary returns to the disciples in verse 18 and declares, "I have seen the Lord." While the other gospels tell us that those who arrived at the tomb were stunned by the bright lightning of the clothes of the angels, while the other gospels tell us that they were stunned by the empty tomb and they reacted immediately to what they saw, John's gospel lays out for us, step by step, what Mary was thinking as she came to the tomb and as she saw the things around her. It is as if John is slowly unveiling the resurrection story as it comes to the people who are there and who witness it. And as we look at these verses in John this morning, John is calling us, the readers, Christ Church, to put our feet into the shoes of those who have come, to react as they have reacted, to identify with them as they have responded to the news of the resurrection and as Jesus comes to them and appears to them. As I said at the beginning, this is a time of darkness. It was a dark and dreary day for those at the resurrection. Previously, Jesus had suffered his death and crucifixion on the cross, and there was darkness. He was placed in the tomb, and all day during the Sabbath, there was darkness and death. As John's resurrection story begins in chapter 20, verse 1, we read that it is still dark. Early on the first day of the week, it is still dark. And there, standing by the tomb, John chooses to tell us it is Mary Magdalene who is there. Mary knew darkness. The Gospel of Luke chapter 8 tells us that Jesus freed Mary Magdalene from 7 demons that had possessed her. Jesus had driven the demons out of her so that she was no longer imprisoned to the demons and to the darkness, but he had saved her from those demons. Mary knows darkness. And as Mary stands before this tomb, as Mary comes, it is still dark as she arrives. When she arrives at the tomb, we read in verse 1 that she sees that the stone has been removed from the entrance. Mary does not understand, and so in verse 2, she goes running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, who is John, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have put him." For Mary, the empty tomb is still darkness. She does not understand that Jesus was to come and to rise from the dead. She thinks that someone has come and stolen the body from the tomb, and that they do not know where to find him. Mary and the other women there. Peter and John react to the news. In verse 3, Peter and the other disciple start for the tomb. Both are running, but the other disciple outruns Peter and reaches the tomb first. He bends over and he looks at the strips of linen lying there, but he does not dare go in. In verse 6, we read that Simon Peter was behind him. He arrived and he goes into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Strange for thieves to take a dead corpse, take off the grave clothes, and run away with a body with no clothes. Strange for thieves to do such a thing. Strange for them to fold up the grave clothes and keep them separate from each other as if they were no longer needed. In verse 8, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside, and when he sees the grave clothes, when he sees the strips of linen and the cloth around his head lying there, he sees and believes. Peter gives no opinion of what he believes. But verse 9 tells us that they still do not completely understand. They do not understand from the scriptures that Jesus had to rise from the dead. There is still darkness. The other disciples go back to their homes in verse 10. But Mary is still there. Mary, who had first arrived and who saw the empty tomb first, we are told. Mary, who goes to the disciples and declares that she believes that the body has been stolen. Mary is standing outside the empty tomb of Christ's resurrection, crying and weeping. Mary is still in darkness. And as Mary weeps, she bends over to look in the tomb. Mary has come to the tomb, and the first thing we are told is that she saw that the tomb was empty. Now John uses the verb again. This time Mary sees inside the tomb, and there in verse 12 she sees two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. And these angels in white ask her, "Woman, why are you crying?" But Mary still doesn't see and understand. Here at the resurrected Christ's tomb, God sends the heavenly angels to sit there and to declare what has occurred. It would seem appropriate that the angels who were there at the creation of this world would also be there at the recreation of this world through Jesus Christ and his resurrection. The powers of earth and heaven have come together to announce the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to announce that those who on earth may be resurrected with Christ and someday join him in the heavenly realms. But Mary only knows darkness. She is at the tomb crying. She's weeping when she looks inside the tomb and sees the heavenly angels dressed in white, seated at the place where Jesus was. They ask her, "Woman, why are you crying? Why are you crying, woman? When the heavenly realms have come together with the earthly realms, why are you crying when there is no crying in heaven itself?" Mary responds, "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I do not know where they have put him." The same words she has said before. "They have stolen my Lord, and I cannot find his dead corpse. As if her hope was in her dead Lord. At this, verse 14, she turns around, and again John tells us she saw. First, she saw the empty tomb. Second, she saw the heavenly angels inside of the empty tomb, announcing the resurrection of Jesus. Now she turns and she sees Jesus himself. Jesus is standing there in verse 14, but she does not realize that it is Jesus. Jesus even speaks to her with his very voice. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?" Mary, who sees Jesus himself, still does not recognize him. She thinks he is the gardener. Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Despite the fact that Jesus has spoken to her himself, she still does not understand. Mary has witnessed the empty tomb. Mary has witnessed the angels at the tomb. Mary has witnessed Jesus himself standing in front of her, and she still does not recognize or hear or know that her Lord has risen. But then Jesus said, "Mary." Jesus said, "Mary." Jesus called out her name, her personal name, as he had done so many times before when he was on the earth with her. "Mary." She turned toward him and she cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni." The personal name for rabbi, the personal relationship. Suddenly her tears and her weeping are gone. Suddenly at the sight of her resurrected Lord, who has called out her personal name, who knows her by name, has taken away the darkness and despair, has taken away her tears. As she recognizes her Lord, she throws her arms around him and she hugs him and won't let go. For her Savior has risen. Sometimes, when we think of the resurrection of Jesus, we have in mind the picture of those disciples who, when he appeared to them, they thought he was a ghost. Sometimes when we think of the resurrected Jesus, we think that he is somehow separated from us. As if the way he was when he walked upon the earth before his death and resurrection is completely different from the way he is now in his resurrected glory. As if somehow he is apart from us, holy and separate, and we who are sinners are distant. But the resurrected Lord, according to John's gospel, calls out Mary's personal name. He continues to know her as he knew her before. He continues to know her in his resurrected state as one of his sheep, as the shepherd calls out her name. You see, as Mary comes to know and understand her resurrected Lord, as she comes to know and understand that he has resurrected from the grave, she comes to know what it means to live with the resurrected Lord. She comes to know that her tears, her sadness, her darkness is taken away. How many of us don't remember Jesus calling our name? How many of us remember hopelessness and darkness turned away, and light and glory in the presence of the resurrected Jesus Christ before us, clinging to Him forever. But Mary wants to hold on. In verse 17, we are told that Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father." Mary is clinging to her resurrected Lord. It is as if she does not want Him to get away. It is as if, almost as if, she wants Him to hold all by herself forever. It is as if she desires to live on earth forever, resurrected. As people preach the resurrection this morning in the various churches, so often the story of the resurrection stops at Jesus resurrected from the grave and appearing on earth. But as Mary clings to Jesus, as she clings to the Savior, Jesus has a mild rebuke. "Do not hold on to me, Mary, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am returning to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." The message that Jesus has for Mary is that the best is yet to come. "Mary, yes, I have been resurrected, but do not hold on to me here upon the earth. Do not hope to be resurrected and to live a new life on earth, resurrected and to stay there apart from the Father. For I am going to ascend. I am going to the Father, Mary. I have been resurrected. I will appear to many people, and then I will ascend to glory. And Mary, go tell my brothers that as I ascend, so will they ascend." Do you see the language that Jesus uses in verse 17? "Go tell my brothers." He's been resurrected from the grave. He's not separate or different than us. The disciples and His church are brothers with Him. They're His family. "Tell them that I am returning to the Father, the same Father who is your Father, the same God who is your God. As I go to heaven to ascend in my resurrected state, so will the church and all the believers who will be resurrected with me will not cling to me on this earth, but will cling to the Father and their God in heaven." That, says Jesus, is what you must cling to. Don't cling to Jesus on this earth as Mary tries. Don't look for hope in a resurrected state on this earth. But your hope, your joy, is to be with God, your Father, Jesus, in heaven forever and ever. If you think holding on to me, Mary, on this earth is wonderful, the best is yet to come. For someday, eternally, you will be with your God, your Father, with no tears, with no darkness, forevermore. As Mary returns, verse 18, she goes to the disciples with the news, and the light is shining in her face. "I have seen the Lord. Jesus has commissioned her to go and tell the disciples the things that she has seen, the things that she has experienced. "I have seen the Lord," she told them. And she shared it all with them. Someday, when Christ's resurrection is completely fulfilled, when those who know it, those who embrace it, those who live it, those who cling to the hope of eternal glory with Christ forever in heaven, someday the words of Mary's lips will be the words of ours. "I have seen the Lord." Amen. Father in heaven, as we have looked at the resurrection story in John that you, by your Holy Spirit, have given us, Lord, we can identify with Mary. We can identify, Lord, with the calling of her name, for you have called us. We can identify, Lord, with her grasping upon you, with the freedom from darkness and sin and despair, and the light and the hope that you have provided for us in the resurrected Christ. And Lord, cause our hearts to cling, not to a resurrected Jesus for long life on the earth, but a resurrected Jesus who has ascended to heaven to take us home with him. Father, as we embrace his resurrection and his glory, Father, we desire to be with him. We desire to be with you, our God and our Father. We desire to identify and live our life out of him. And Lord, we long to someday say those words that Mary has spoken. "I have seen the Lord." May this be our hope. May this be our comfort. May our tears be dried. May our sadness be taken away in the glory of our resurrected Lord, who calls us by his name. Amen.